Hello and welcome to another mobile edition of the Tree City Sports Podcast.
Gotta love the Anchor app.
I know it. Shout out to Anchor, making podcasts easy. Pay us money. Anyways, I am Andrew Baker, your host.
And I'm Graham Moen, and this is an abbreviated podcast because we want to talk about the Cavs series, but we also have to be to my job on time.
I work once again, this is a brief reminder that I work for the Cleveland Indians now, which is pretty cool, but it also means we can't talk about baseball. So, let's not talk baseball in this podcast, but honestly, Cleveland's not talking baseball right now anyways, because Cavs and Celtics, Game 7. This could be it for a lot of things. You know, legacy-wise, we can get into more of that, depending on the result of this game on our next podcast, but one way or another, this is going to be the end of someone's season, and it's going to be the Cavs or the Celtics.
Yeah, I mean, we very well could be seeing LeBron's last game with the Cavs. We don't know that yet. Obviously, that's, like you said, that's something for speculation, but that's something to keep in your mind is that this could be LeBron's last game for the Cavs. So I think this game is something that all fans should try to enjoy as much as they can, because me and Andrew talked about this briefly before the podcast. It doesn't matter how good the Cavs are going to be in the future. We will never see a great like LeBron and a local kid like LeBron playing for us again. So just enjoy it, everybody. Enjoy watching the greatness that is LeBron James.
Yeah, I mean, this is – Cleveland basketball is never going to be this great again. It's just not going to be. The Cavs can win championships and have great teams in the future, but
– they won't have the
– I think it's obvious. It's not like anyone's sitting here and doesn't understand the gravity of the situation and doesn't understand at this point, you know, what we're witnessing. But –
yeah, I mean, he's the top two player of all time. You're never going to see that again.
Yeah, so depending on the result of this game, we can have an entire podcast dedicated to, you know, this topic. We're going to have a lot to talk about when the Cavs season ends, whether it ends. Ty Lue said, before game 6, your podcast can end in 3 hours, 3 days, or 3 weeks, which means you can lose tonight at home, you can lose in game 7, or you can go on to the finals and see what happens there.
So whether the series ends tonight, whether our season ends tonight or whether it ends in a few weeks, this is just, we have to stay in the moment. And so that means we need to talk about game 7. We need to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, look, like, I'm sorry to cut you off, but yeah, game 7. This game is about one person, basically. And the Cavs are going to have to get contributions from other guys on the roster, from role players. But, I mean, everyone knows this game is about LeBron. And this is a massive, massive burden on his shoulders. And he's shown that he's up to the task time and time again throughout his career. But I think this is going to be, for a single game, one of the biggest challenges he's ever faced, just in terms of this is going to have to be
an all-timer.
It's going to have to be an all-timer from LeBron. And he's done it in Boston Garden before. Okay, so
it's kind of full circle because the last time he left the Cavs, his last game was in Boston. So
yeah, just for some perspective on what this means for LeBron, everyone knows he's been to the finals every season starting in 2010 in a row.
8 straight years.
So I saw a stat from ESPN that last time, 2009, LeBron was not in the finals. 78% of the NBA was not in the NBA right now. So LeBron has literally been going to the finals so long.
That's kind of crazy.
Four out of five of every player in the NBA was not even in the league the last time he didn't go to the finals. And
I mean, I was in high school the last time he wasn't in the finals.
Yeah. That's incredible. I mean, I was
a sophomore in high school.
Yeah.
And I'm 24 now. So just for that perspective, like I went through college and every single year, there was a few consistencies, finals and LeBron in the NBA finals.
Yeah. So the task he faces tonight is this. And again, this is a team sport and we're going to discuss in a few minutes here. Excuse me, by the way, I have a little bit of a cold. I hope it doesn't sound too trash.
You sound horrible.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So this is the task LeBron faces. He faces one of the most raucous home crowds in the sport. in a game seven, and that Boston crowd has had all Sunday to be drinking and whatever they do in Boston. It's going to be – the crowd's going to be berserk. And
yeah,
the Celtics have the number one defense in the NBA, and they haven't lost at home in the playoffs a single time, and Kevin Love is out.
With a concussion, yeah, it's really tragic, the fact that it happened to him again. It just seems like it's not – I don't want to knock Kevin Love, but it just seems like every time we get into a big moment or in the playoffs, like he just – something happens to him, and I just I don't know if that's not like his injury history.
It's just freak injuries. Like, what are you supposed – he's just hit in the skull. Like, what are you supposed to do? You know, it sucks.
Or he gets his arm pulled out of his socket by, ironically, the Boston Celtics. It's just like he always has these – and before the – concussion, he had already torn ligaments in his thumb, so it's like he can't catch a break. He's like, I've talked about this off the podcast, he's like a juxtaposition of LeBron. Anytime LeBron falls to the floor, neither of us are like, oh god, he's hurt. We're just like, he's fine, don't worry, he's made of titanium.
Yeah,
but Kevin Love falls to the floor and you're just like, oh god, is he gonna get back up?
Yeah, well, this entire playoffs, just, you know, we're going to mostly avoid the legacy talk for now, but some of it is just impossible to avoid. Most of this playoffs has been, I think it's kind of been like LeBron's, you know, whether or not LeBron stays is a topic for a different day. And the future of the Cavs is a topic for a different day. But I think looking back on this playoffs so far, it's kind of been LeBron's gift to Cavs fans. And the reason I say that is because the Cavs have been really good at home in these playoffs. And
LeBron, yeah, I mean, if they play this way,
LeBron has had some road games where it was clear that he wasn't going 100%, and you know, you really can't blame him for that. But the home games LeBron's had in these playoffs have been incredible. Game winners, monster performances, and this latest one, hitting those two threes with about 2 minutes to go to sink the Celtics, just roaring, pounding his chest. He's been jumping on the scorer's table after game winners. And I think LeBron, you know, now has this connection with Cavs fans where obviously we all know that if he does leave and come back, he's going to be cheered. No longer is he going to be booed. His legacy has been cemented. The letter, the return, the title, the charity work, the scholarships to kids, all these things have ensured that it's love between Cavs fans and LeBron now, and Northeast Ohio and LeBron. But I think these home games, he has been such a next level of dominant that you just don't think the Cavs have any chance of losing at home when LeBron's playing like that. And it's been incredible to watch, but I think
it's been like such a big electricity.
I think a game seven in Boston, I think LeBron's going to have an all-timer one way or another. It's just a matter of whether LeBron can do literally everything on both ends of the court for 45, 46 minutes, and whether anyone else in the Cavs is going to step up, because we've seen that the Cavs role players don't play as well on the road. And we've seen that the Celtics are a totally different team at home. And it's,
they're pretty much unbeatable at home.
Yeah. They haven't lost at home playoffs, in the playoffs.
Yeah, they are unbeatable.
Exactly. So
I mean, LeBron's going to have to pull out something crazy. And I mean, he has done this in Boston plenty of times. So, I mean, it's not, but he's also had his fair share of disappointments in Boston. So this is going to be one of these demons that LeBron has to exercise. Both the Warriors are one, and then Boston's another. I mean, he has to will this team to a victory.
Yeah. So we got about 10 minutes here.
Okay.
What are your keys for this one game for the Cavs getting it done and getting the finals one more time?
I think if you're talking, let's stick with LeBron. If we want him to have an all-time great game, I think a big thing there would be his turnovers. I think if LeBron's in like high single digits in turnovers, I think that could be where it does the Cavs in, because maybe that's a listless pass by LeBron or him trying to do too much in something. I don't want – he's a great player, but my hope is that he does not try to put so much pressure on himself to make all the right plays at every single time that he ends up losing his focus, which is something that is one of his biggest attributes, is his ability to stay locked into games when he is ready. And just – I think if he's not turning the ball over, I think that's infectious for the rest of the team, because yeah. I think that'll create different opportunities for other players. And I think keeping turnovers, especially as a team, are going to be big, because like we've said plenty of times this series, you let Boston out in transition, they are going to roast the Cavs defense, because the Cavs defense in the half court has improved, but their transition has not gotten much better. And they're way too athletic and way too strong. Like, Jaylen Brown has been playing out of his mind. He had a great game 6. Terry Rozier showed up as home Terry Rozier in Cleveland last game. And based on what we saw, we very well could see the same Terry Rozier and Jaylen Brown. And that was with Al Horford and Jason Tatum struggling from the field. So I think turnovers are going to be the biggest key. And then I think the next biggest key is, how does LeBron manage his rotation? I mean, not how does LeBron. I mean, essentially, how does Ty Lue manage the rotations for this game?
Yeah, I think if you look at the Cavs rotation for this game, the start Ty Lue already said that Jeff Green starting at the 4, and you're looking at a bench of Jordan Clarkson playing probably 10 to 12 minutes. You're looking at Kyle Korver, and you're looking at Larry Nance, and you're looking at starting that's 5 it. Of Hill, JR, LeBron, Green, Thompson, and that's it. I don't think obviously Rodney Hood is 1,000% unplayable. I don't think anyone else on that bench is really playable at this point. You're not going to play Calderon or Jetty Osman. So I think the Cavs are going to have to slow this game down to where it's played at a very low pace to be in this game for multiple reasons. Number one, most obviously, LeBron's going to be carrying the team offensively. He's going to have the ball in his hand every play. He's going to have almost zero breaks. So if the Cavs are playing at a faster pace, Boston's going to just run them off the floor, because they have, at this point, more depth, which is hilarious to say considering all the injuries they have, but that's what happens right in the playoffs. The Celtics have more depth. They're a younger team. They have a lot more athleticism than the Cavs do at this point. So,
and they're playing at home.
Yes. So for the Cavs to have a chance in this game, they have to play it slow to try and keep the crowd a little bit contained, to try and not get the Celtics players too revved up, and just to have LeBron literally able to get through the game. I think mentally, we all know LeBron can get through a game, any game. But physically, LeBron's had issues before where he cramps up, or his body literally just can't take playing the massive, massive workload that's going to have to be on him. So I think the Cavs are going to have to slow it down a significant amount. But that can be a problem for the Cavs, because as we've seen, if the Cavs don't have pace offensively, they just don't run an offense. And that ends up being LeBron ISOing every play. And if anyone can do it, it's LeBron. But I think anytime the Cavs can kind of get Korver coming off of a pick to be open, or a Thompson dunk at the rim, or anything involving LeBron not having to work that hard, is going to be extremely important. And I think the Cavs are going to have to find a balance of playing the game at a really slow pace, but within their possessions, having enough pace offensively to get the ball moving, get everyone involved at least a little bit, and avoid just LeBron ISOing every play. And they're going to have especially without Kevin Love, because they can't just dump it in the post now. I mean, Jeff Green will probably post up a few times, and it'll, you know, whatever, it is what it is. But I just think, you know, they're going to have to find the balance between making sure the game is at a slow pace, but having enough pace on offense to score. And that's going to be a tough thing to find.
To clarify, I think what Andrew's saying is the Cavs have to play this game as a low-scoring affair, kind of like we did with the Warriors when we beat them in the finals. You got to keep this game in the 90s or low hundreds, but at the same time, without Kevin Love especially, the Cavs have to keep that ball moving, because Like, we don't have that go-to post scorer anymore, and LeBron can't be banging in the post all game, or he will not have the energy left at the end of the game. If it's a close game, which it will be, this game will not be a blowout.
We all know that. We all know the fourth quarter is going to be LeBron at the top of the key, running a pick and roll, getting a switch, going to work. That's going to be the fourth quarter. But the Cavs have to get to the fourth quarter with LeBron having enough energy to finish it off. The Cavs aren't going to be able to have LeBron have 40 points through three quarters by doing all the scoring himself, because by the time the fourth quarter happens, he's just not going to have enough in the tank. We can have an all-time LeBron performance, and we're going to. And mentally, he will not give in. I guarantee you of that. But, again, he is a human being, which sometimes it's hard to believe.
Yeah, I know. He's
and
nailing.
There's only so much stress that his body can take in a two-hour period. So they're going to have to do what they can to get other people involved. That's another thing. That's another major key is if you're looking at George Hill. George Hill's averaging like 16 to 18 points per game at home in this series and 5 points per game on the road. If George Hill scores 4 to 6 points,
we're losing.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really hard for the Cavs to win, because at this point, George Hill is our number two scoring option. Realistically, and he's definitely he's definitely our number two ball handler.
Yeah,
and if he can have something like 18 points and 5 assists or something like that, anything to kind of give LeBron a break from play to play, hit a couple jumpers, make a couple decent passes, that's going to be a huge deal, because you're looking for someone in the Cavs to step up.
And, can J.R. Smith catch lightning in a bottle again?
Yeah, George Hill's pretty much the only ball handler the Cavs have, other than LeBron, that can really create anything or score for himself. J.R., Korver, guys like that, they can hit shots, but they're not going to create the open shots for themselves.
Yeah, I think J.R. and Korver probably combined have to hit at least 8 threes for us to, like, really be in this game and have some big shots, because, like I said, I think this game's going to be close the whole time. I don't think there's going to be – I think there might be one or two periods where it's like a 10-point game, but I think for the most part this game's going to be played between a 4 to 8-point deficit for whoever is behind, and it's going to be a slog fest. I don't think either team is going to let the other team get on a run. Expect quick timeouts if things start getting out of hand, if the Cavs start playing bad defense or they have bad shots and allow easy baskets. Ty Lue better be ready to have that quick timeout and stop that run, because if we let them go and we don't stop the bleeding, we might get run out of this gym tonight. It's scary to think about.
Yeah.
He has to have a quick hook with players that he's kind of mentioned, not ready.
Look, you kind of mentioned two things that I want to touch on. One, if there's ever a time for JR to have a renaissance game, if there's ever a time for JR to get hot, it's tonight. Because the Cavs need anything they can get from these role players, and JR has been, quite frankly, bad this season and not good in these playoffs. He's fought defensively, and you got to give him a lot of credit for that, but he has not hit shots. And, I mean, if there was ever a time for the old JR to show up and hit a bunch of threes, tonight's the night.
We need a rational Cavs confidence, defense. JR.
Yes, yes. We need, like, third quarter against the Warriors in Game 7 of the Finals, JR. You also touched on the Cavs defense. That's one thing where I think if you look at the personnel the Cavs are going to be playing in this game without Kevin Love, Cavs are going to have a good defensive team. With their front line of LeBron, Green, and Thompson, plus JR and Hill, that starting five is switchable. It's tenacious. It's long-armed. It's smart. I think that the Cavs have a legitimate chance to slow the Celtics down at home more than they have yet in the playoffs, and they're going to need to, because that Cavs unit is switchable, and they've got all the ingredients necessary to slow down the Celtics, considering the vast majority of the Celtics scoring comes from their wings. And Tristan Thompson has absolutely shut down Al Horford. I mean, wow.
Yeah, I mean, after the first two
Thompson
games.
Thompson is Al Horford kryptonite, you know?
Yeah, I mean, every year it seems like the last few years, anytime the Cavs were not being able to stop him, they're like, all right, let's just put Tristan Thompson on him. And it's just like he's an eraser for Al Horford. He's just as athletic as Al Horford. He's just as big as Al Horford. And he's honestly probably more physical than Al Horford.
Yeah. Al Horford has been great this season. That was one of our keys to the playoffs, or one of my keys to the series, is Al Horford versus Kevin Love. And obviously, the Kevin Love thing's not happening.
Yeah, but he got torched in the first two games.
Yeah. If you look at the, you know, the Al Horford thing, Tristan Thompson has done a really, really incredible job. Yeah, you know, the Cavs are going to play great defense this game, and they're going to have to keep the score low, and Jeff Green's going to have to hit a couple random threes and have a couple of random post-ups. Tristan Thompson and Larry Nance are going to have to get offensive rebounds all over the place. JR and Korver are going to have to make shots. George Hill's going to have to be present and part of the offense. And buckle up,
yeah,
because LeBron's going to have a monster game no matter what happens. And no matter what the Celtics throw at LeBron, you know it's not going to matter. He's seen everything in his career. And
yeah,
LeBron's not going out without a major, major performance. And I think it just remains
he's not going to go down easy.
It just remains to be seen if other role players can score enough points and if LeBron can have enough energy left going into the fourth quarter. But
yeah,
I think you're right. I think it's going to be a pretty close game, and it's going to be a spectacle one way or another. All right. Go ahead.
You just said about offensive rebounding. That's a way to slow down the pace of the game. Second chances. I think if the Cavs get a lot of offensive rebounding, that'll help slow the pace down, and that'll give the Cavs their chance to be able to keep this game where we need it to be.
Yep. Agreed. We've seen, you know, it's funny because the Cavs have kind of had this revolution over the past few years where now they're an offense first, 3-point shooting team that doesn't care a lot about defense and doesn't care as much about rebounding. And now it's like, now that Kevin Love's out and against this Celtics team, and Kyrie, of course, being gone, it's like the old Cavs now, man. It's just give it to LeBron, get the hell out the way, play good defense and offensive rebound. It's like the Mike Brown Cavs all over again. It really is. I mean,
hopefully it ends better than that. Hopefully it ends better than the Mike Brown Cavs. But yeah, I see what you're saying.
Hey, I take Mo Williams right now. I'm sure he can get some buckets. I take him over Jordan Clarkson, but that's
well,
not
yeah.
subject. All right, I gotta go to work. Thanks for listening, everybody. We really appreciate it. Please check us out. Please give us a review on the iTunes, the podcast store, or Google Play, or Anchor, wherever you listen to this. Please
Spotify.
Give us a review. Yep. We'll see, man. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll be watching it together tonight.
Yep.
So.
Either way, we'll be back with a podcast probably Tuesday, win or loss. Hopefully it's a finals preview for the Cavs. If not, we're going to have a lot of things to talk about. Let's see what happens. Check out TreeCityRecords.com, Tree City Records on Twitter. Check out my Twitter at @abaker_sports. Check out Graham's Twitter at @gtmohan. Let's see what LeBron's got in store. We'll talk to you Tuesday. Peace.
All right. Let's go, Cleveland.